WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into a game day, a rare Monday Night Football. Luke, I literally this morning threw away the cookie that I brought back from Las Vegas that had the ESPN logo on it because it was still my, I brought it back for my wife. She never ate it. So I was actually going to hold it up, you know, for you. It was a little stale. I figured you didn't want it from Vegas. You get your own at the game here tonight, but it is a game day. It was a long Sunday of sitting around. It was an amazing sports weekend, right? For baseball on Saturday, all these crazy football games, college football games. The NFL wasn't as good on Sunday, I didn't think. So sort of let down on Sunday night a little bit too. But the big story is this is a big game and the whole world's watching. And we have the most interesting football player on earth that even when they're winning by a lot or losing by a lot, everyone wants to watch Lamar. So I would think that if the game stays in hand tonight, they'll do a nice rating on Colts at Baltimore and Lamar at quarterback. I don't know how good of a football game it'll be. I think the Ravens are going to win and win big, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, I picked a Ravens win by two touchdowns. You can check out my five predictions for tonight at BaltimorePositive.com. And I'm in agreement with you. I think it's important to understand Indianapolis with all their injuries that maybe they haven't endured nearly as well as the Ravens have. And it's really a testament to John Harbaugh, the coaching staff, the organization, and the players, of course. But still a talented team, still a team that has some really good players at certain spots. I think when you're talking about a Frank Reich offense, they're very multiple. They're very good at doing different things, even if they don't have these unbelievable playmakers. And I think they're a team that likes to screen and throw to their backs. That's something we've seen early in the season that hurts the Ravens. But by and large, I look at this game and I see a team that is clearly better than the other one, even with all of the Ravens injuries. So and they have the best player on the field in Lamar Jackson. We talk about that nearly on a weekly basis. We're talking about who has the best player on the field, and it's the Ravens more often than not. Even in a case like a few weeks ago against Kansas City, where you say, all right, Patrick Mahomes, well, Lamar Jackson was better that night. So that was the big difference. But I'll disagree with you a little bit in what you said about the action on with the NFL on Sunday. Now, not saying each game was a classic, but for me, it was very fascinating to watch Cleveland go at it with the Chargers and what was just a crazy shootout. And then on Sunday night, Buffalo become the latest team to take down the Chiefs. I mean, we saw the Ravens do it. We saw the Chargers do it. We've seen the Bills do it. And we saw Cleveland give Kansas City all they could handle in week one. To me, I don't know what that ultimately means for the Chiefs, but it's shaping up to be a really fun AFC race where I think you have four or five teams that I'm not ready to say all these teams are legitimate Super Bowl contenders.
If the Bengals kicked a field goal, you'd be talking about them because that sure. Game was, I sat out, I was at Nick's Grandstand Grill in Timonium, where by the way, this week, getting together with Tommy and some old friends, and we're going to do the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play and make sure get yourself some Raven scratch off tickets as well. We'll be out there from 2 to 5 on Friday. I'm sitting there. Dude, I got there at 1 o'clock and they had a couple of the games on. The Redskins were on. The Red Zone was on. A lot of races. No baseball. When it started, like nobody was watching baseball. But I stayed till about 4:30, 5 o'clock. And the TV started to gather with everybody watching the Bengals. Now, the Joe Burrow poking the throat, like all that stuff going on. Dude, the Bengals are going to be no picnic here, too. With Burrow, right? I mean, the league has changed. I mean, look at the Bills. The Bills are, like, now the cream of the crop, right? Like, and maybe the Ravens would be if they win, too, because I know it didn't take you 30 seconds to point out that a win on Monday night puts the Ravens in first place again, right?
Yeah, no question about it. And look, the Ravens are right there. I mean, I think Buffalo, when you go on the road against Kansas City, and let's face it, Buffalo beat the Ravens last year, and they were in the AFC Championship. That kind of, I think, by default, not saying I think that, but from a national media standpoint, and you're trying to look at it not through the purple-tinted lenses, I think you do look at Buffalo. But, I mean, the Chargers. I mean, Justin Herbert's unbelievable. It's funny. We've talked a lot about the Ravens starting this four-game homestand tonight. All right, Indianapolis, they don't scare you. But next week, the Chargers.
Whoa. Are you looking ahead? Are you committing?
I can look ahead all I want.
You're committing.
I can look ahead all I want. I don't play.
We're not going to play. We're not going to play that Chargers nonsense now, are you already? Well, you know, I win this one.
My point is, just because you're playing the next four at home, and yes, you have the bye week in there, and all right, the Minnesota Vikings on the other end of that, fine. I'm not going to tell you I'm losing any sleep thinking about that one. But Colts, Chargers, Bengals, and you just said it about the Bengals, and I'll say it's not just Joe Burrow. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase looks pretty good. T. Higgins looked good last year, and they still have Tyler Boyd, and you know Uzama was their hero in their Thursday night win, their comeback against the Jaguars. I mean, that's not going to be a game where you just roll the ball out as it's felt like the last few years, where you know that you're just going to show up and you're going to roll over them. I think the Ravens are going to have to play good football. But the point is, they have this great opportunity starting tonight against Indianapolis, but this isn't going to be just a automatic 4-0 over the next month. It's going to be, they need to play good football, and that starts tonight. And I think if you're the Ravens, after what they endured the first month of the season, I mean, the loss to the Raiders and then two of your next three are against Kansas City, and then two more road games, to come out of that 3-1, to come out of that with a 3-game winning streak, slowly but surely, it feels like the health situation stabilizing a little bit, knock on wood. And, you know, we'll see about Villanueva. He's missed some practice, but he practiced on Saturday. You know, I think he's going to be okay for tonight. And
should we all be concerned about the left tackle? I mean, let's talk about that for a minute, because I think if there is a vulnerability, if things are going to go wrong, if anything's going to happen to number eight that is untoward, we will look to that and say they spent a lot of money and they're not getting that productivity out of that position. And the concerns, even as, you know, hours before game time, I think he'll play. I think, you know, okay, great. So he gets out there, but what are we really getting from a productivity standpoint from the left tackle position?
Well, I think that's fair. I mean, what does he look like? What does Villanueva look like? I mean, keep in mind, this is a guy who missed the entire second half basically in Denver and missed most of the practice week. He practiced on a limited basis Saturday. The little bit that the few reporters that were out there Saturday morning, like myself, saw, not really anything you could gauge one way or the other. He looked fine, but it wasn't as though we saw him doing anything all that terribly strenuous. But that is the big question, not necessarily for tonight, because, I mean, Kwity-Paye is not going to play their first-round pick for the Colts as a defensive end. You know, DeForest Buckner is the big challenge there, but he's on the interior. He's on the inside. So, but that's going to be a big question. And whether we're talking Villanueva or whether we're talking about whenever Ronnie Stanley gets back on the field, what does it look like? Yeah, that has to be the question.
What does it look like in week 12? Is what? Yeah. You know, what's it going to look like when we start seeing the Browns and the Steelers next month? And this is the burning into all of this. Like, the Chargers look good. The Bengals, and by the way, it was really weird to be out at Knicks and having people hating on the Bengals, you know, publicly, you know, publicly rooting for the Packers. I'm like, what's wrong with you people? You know what I mean? And then I'm thinking, well, they're the Bengals. And, you know, we usually save all that for the Steelers, right? Now we have that for the Browns. I had that all afternoon, back and forth. Nobody playing any defense, like an AFL game, like a whack game in that thing. But I would say this for the Ravens. This period here, as much as it's Luke thinks they're going to win by two touchdowns, and you already whammied their asses. I know at 10:42 tonight, I'm going to be looking at you cross in a 3-point game one way or another, just because you started talking about the C word for next week. But I would just say that this is for them to get settled. It's awesome that they're 3-1. It's awesome that whatever we talked about for 6 months, whether it all those players that they signed that never made it to the field, all the woe is us before and after Las Vegas, and how in the world are we ever, no way we're going to beat the Chiefs. And, and then 3 weeks later, we're 3-1. The Chiefs are where they are. And it's all sitting there, as the coach would say, with four home games and a bye week sandwiched in there. Okay, that was preseason 3-1. John's 20-0 in the preseason, if you haven't heard. This is one of those times where 4-0 would really make a difference here if they could win these four games, however they win them. But the number one thing is, don't go 2-2 and don't come out of this on getting on a short rest to Miami, 2-2 in these games, and not knowing And if you are 2-2, chances are it isn't because your kicker couldn't kick. It's because you stumbled along the way. Tackles were missed. Balls went over heads. Teams moved the ball. Lamar, you know, runs into linebackers. I'm not going to whammy Lamar. But this thing here is more about if they're going to be that 15-2 team or 13, whatever they're going to be, this is the time they need to be that. But this is also the time that they need to get their ish together and figure out who's going to be on the field, because all the plans of the offseason for DaCosta, it's a lot different when Anthony Averett's running around back there 80 plays and you're trying to figure out how to get snaps out of Pernell McPhee, or what Jalen Ferguson's going to look like, or where Tyus Bowser's going to be. Owa starts to look like a real guy now, right? Like, he starts to look like, over these 4 weeks at home, 6 sacks in these 4 games, pad some stats, get after some quarterbacks, raise some hell, be a star. It feels like he's ready to do that. So they have these guys on the fringe. They got this wide receiver. Number he wears, Luke, literally. So, I mean, we're learning all of this, but if they're going to be good, once we get to Cleveland and Pittsburgh, the important games at the end of the year, who's on the field? Who's going to be on the field for this team? What's the linebacking core really going to look like? Are they really happy with this?
Yeah, I think those are fair questions. First and foremost, Rashad Bateman, number 12. We'll see if we see him tonight. He's been practicing for a couple weeks, but I would say if I had to only pick one between Bateman and Miles Boykin, keep in mind, Miles Boykin plays quite a bit of special teams. So something to keep in mind. That's not to say they won't both be activated. And this is my opportunity to plug the WNSC Baltimore Positive Text Service. 4 p.m. today is when the Ravens will have to make their roster moves as far as practice squad elevations. Do we see Le'Veon Bell again? Do we see Bateman activated to the 53-man roster? Do we see Miles Boykin activated? We know they're going to have to call up an offensive tackle. Do they call up two? If they do that, then you're wondering, is Villanueva going to play? So 4 o'clock will be telling. Of course, pregame, 90 minutes prior to kickoff, game day scratches, any in-game injuries. We'll try not to send anything out too late tonight. People are going to be watching from home if they're going to be at the stadium. Of course, any significant in-game injury updates that's sent directly to your mobile device via the WNST Baltimore Positive Text Service, sponsored by Coons Baltimore Ford. But you said it. I mean, this is such a huge opportunity. And I'm going to go back to what you mentioned, the first month of the season. And that's not to be to diminish what the Ravens have done, because you look at their list of injuries compared to Indy, and you see how the Colts have struggled out of the gate. Some other teams have really struggled with injuries. But a couple weeks now, the Las Vegas Raiders have come back to earth. So that week one, not saying it's embarrassing. It's a week one Monday night road game. That's a challenging environment in which to play. But we've seen the Raiders come back to earth. Denver, after losing to the Ravens, they go to Pittsburgh, and maybe reports of the Steelers' absolute football death have been slightly exaggerated, let's say.
Are you saying it's a week-to-week league? Is that what you're saying?
It is absolutely a week-to-week league. And as much as we're talking about the Ravens riding high and a 3-game winning streak and the next 4 at home, and my goodness, what a great opportunity that is to, as you said it, seize control of the division, with the Browns and the Bengals having lost on Sunday. But it's an opportunity to put yourself right there with, hanging with the Bills as far as battling it out for the number one seed. And you have the Chargers now. And I mean, I'm not burying the Chiefs yet, but clearly they're vulnerable. And clearly we've seen the Chiefs have issues that we hadn't seen in recent years. But it really is, especially with the Ravens' health situation, they're one more injury at the wrong spot away from really having a problem on their hands. And that's not to be doom and gloom. I feel good about this football team right now. I think you have to feel good. Why wouldn't you? After 3 straight wins, after the hell that they went through at the end of the summer with the injuries, but before they even played a game, the number of guys they'd lost. But it really is a week-to-week league. And I mean, the Raiders coming back to earth, the Broncos coming back to earth. And I mean, look at Kansas City. I mean, a team that you're thinking in week two, oh my gosh, the Ravens don't have a chance, and the Chiefs are going to be 2-0, and the Ravens are going to be 0-2, and oh my goodness, the season's going to spiral out of control. And look what's happened since then. The Ravens have a chance to win their 4th straight tonight, and the Chiefs already have 3 losses. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, there's a whole lot of football left, but it's crazy. And that's just
like
a reminder
of the Dallas Cowboys being any good, by the way. I mean, while you're on the AFC, I got to go to the Like any year where the Cowboys are good, I don't like it.
How about the Arizona Cardinals?
I don't dislike J.J. Watt. I'm okay with it.
But I'm just saying the fact that they're undefeated and you look at what they've done, no one was predicting that. I mean, people like Kyler Murray, sure, but they've been really impressive. So, I mean, it's been fun. And you said it, there weren't necessarily a ton of great games on Sunday, but there were a couple really good ones. And, you know, it really,
like how they play that Jets Falcons game. We're like, put it in London. Nobody leave. You know, like,
that was funny.
I forgot it even happened. Like by 12:30, I saw them giving scores and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. And it's on like, it don't they show it in some way that you have to have like tinfoil to get it?
They did show it on NFL Network. This was the London game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
They did. Now some of the London games, they don't. I have to pull back the curtain a little bit here, as you know, Southern York County, Pennsylvania. So I watched that game, went over to my sister and my brother-in-law's house and watched the Eagles game because the other game was Dolphins Buccaneers. And I mean, Tampa Bay rolled. I mean, as you'd expect, considering the Dolphins quarterback situation, but I watched that Eagles Carolina game, the Panthers, another team that, you know, maybe people were trying to crown a couple weeks ago as a class of the NFC kind of team, and maybe just wait on that one. But that game, it was fun, but boy, that was a really rough game to watch at the same time. And I mean, Philadelphia looked terrible for three quarters, and then suddenly they figured out a way to pull it out at the end. They block a punt. Another case, though, of a week-to-week league, even a quarter-to-quarter league. I mean, we saw this with the Ravens playing the Lions a couple weeks ago where, I mean, the Ravens should have been winning that game by three or four touchdowns, and then suddenly the Lions start throwing the ball to Swift out of the backfield, and the Ravens are in trouble, and they need a 66-yard field goal to win. But it really is a crazy, crazy league. But then I was subjected to the Giants-Cowboys game at the late afternoon window, and that wasn't any good.
Well, at least Penn State lost, though. We have that, right?
Yeah, sure. So Alabama lost. How about that? So Terps, we'll try not to talk about that one anyway. But
by the way, I will talk about with Leonard Raskin when he comes on this week. His kid plays in the Ohio State band. I don't know if you heard about what they did at halftime.
I saw that.
Yes?
I saw the Rush tribute. That's
yes.
Awesome. I didn't hear it.
Crazy.
Really cool.
Yeah, man. So I'm going to get Leonard to get his kid on. I've got to get some background on that. I never had a feeling about Ohio State. Maybe that's why I'm wearing the red and white Coons shirt here. Luke, rest up, man. We got a long night ahead, you and me, at the ballpark. For anyone out there in the Baltimore Positive space, amazing day with ladies on Friday at Mother's. It was serendipity. I had four ladies join me talking about cancer, talking about So Botanicals, talking about Mother's. Who better to have the ladies at Mother's? Dave Rather's running around down in New Orleans. I had Anna Leventis on from So Cafe. All that'll be coming this week. Don Moeller and I got together and argued about Urban Meyer. So that was good on the recon as well. Also joined by Luke Broadwater of Baltimore, the other Luke who from the New York Times. He joined us from a phone booth in Congress. He looked like Clark Kent for 32 minutes talking about the debt ceiling. So you'll want to check that out. Big thanks to all of our sponsors. Planet Fitness has got it going on right now at Victor Brick. We're at the end of an incredible week of getting in motion and getting movement. Make sure you see our friends at Planet Fitness, and also our friends at Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Billy Cole, I've been on like a month. We've been chasing each other around. Maybe we'll be at the football game together tonight. All the lights go down in Baltimore. The Indianapolis Colts come to town, and Bob Kravitz and Mike Chappell, my friends from Indianapolis, who know more about the Colts than anybody. I've unearthed a whole bunch of the old Ursay lore and stories. I was on a podcast last week. They made me tell the story about Bisciotti and me and Jim Ursay going for a long walk at the Biltmore and smoking cigars and talking about the Colts record. So you'll hear all of that here at WNST all week, and of course on Friday, Nick's Grandstand Grill. Everybody said, try Tommy's Crab Cake up in Nick's at the OTB. I was there for Rocking at the Races. Shout out to Paul King and everybody else. But we're going to be bringing the Crab Cake Tour to Joe Carolyn and our friends at Casamia's. If you see Joe, I saw Gary Risling from Silver Spring Mining. It was good to see him. Even saw old friends, Joe Slivka from the Barn. I was showing him pictures from the 90s on my phone while we were watching the Bengals try to lose. So, big appreciation to all of our sponsors, all of our friends around town. Come on out. It's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's Friday in Timonium at Nick's. I'll be getting some more dates out and eating more crab cakes. Delicious crab cake at Mother's last week and you'll hear it this week, but not next week, when we will be talking about the team that used to be in San Diego that we're not going to talk about until we beat the Indianapolis Colts. Luke's at the ballpark. I'll be at the ballpark. Make sure you're monitoring all things WNST. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.